Welcome to A Meaningful Marketplace.
I'm Sarah Massoni from Oregon State University's Food Innovation Center, where I've helped countless dreamers launch their new food products. It's the science of taking a food delight from the kitchen to mass manufacturing and still keeping its great taste. That's what I do. I've been called the woman with the million-dollar palate, although I haven't tried to cash that check yet. Listen in weekly for real-life stories.
I'm Sarah Marshall, owner of Marshall's Hot Sauce and author of Preservation Pantry, Modern Canning from Root to Top and Stem to Core. I love inspiring business owners to get started on their journeys, encouraging folks to be part of their local community, and I'm excited to help business owners tell their stories. Join us as we explore the journeys of women entrepreneurs in the food and beverage industry. Hello and welcome to Massoni and Marshall, the Meaningful Marketplace. We are here weekly to discuss the journeys of female food entrepreneurs. We're glad you've joined us today as we bring you stories of hope and inspiration. This is Sarah Marshall, owner of Marshall's Hot Sauce.
And Sarah Massoni from Oregon State University's Food Innovation Center. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah Massoni. How are you this week?
I'm good. I was missing you. I haven't seen you on social media too much. I was thinking maybe you were busy making sauce or something.
I am busy making sauce. We have been super busy in the kitchen because we have a big order going out to our friends, the Heatonist in New York. So I'm making lots of whiskey smoked ghost, which if you hear me coughing down here, it's because it's in the air.
That's
yes,
great.
Yes. Whenever we have big orders, I am off the social media, which is, you know, I guess it's good. That's how you know I'm
business. Well, it's kind of sad when your friend isn't on social media and that's how you like miss them.
I know. You're like, I haven't seen you online.
I haven't heard any late night texts from you or anything.
That's true. Well, I've been seeing you on the news lately. At the Food Innovation Center, Coin Six, the Northwest Grown segment with Elizabeth Dinn has been in the Food Innovation Center the last couple of episodes. It's been so cool to see.
Yeah, actually, it started with that Nico's ice cream clip, and then Elizabeth got a hold of me, and she's like, hey, I need to come and film a start of a couple stories at the FIC. So I think there might be a third one about food safety coming up.
Oh, cool.
I just don't know when.
That's so fun. Well, congratulations
it's being super featured. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people can find those if they go to Coin Six, and then you just look for the Northwest Grown segments.
Yeah, exactly. So for Black History Month, I found on Coin Six website, actually, there is a Black Restaurant Week started Friday the 23rd, and it runs to March 2nd, and over 80 Black-owned food businesses in the region are participating. So check it out.
Yeah, that's so great. And people can find the list on the Coin Six website?
Yeah, it's just coin.com.
Perfect. Everybody go out there and support.
Well, even if you can't go this week, you can find the list there for future reference, which is valuable.
Perfect. We want to thank our sponsor for supporting Massoni and Marshall. Thank you for helping us spread the word about entrepreneurs. Let's hear a word from our sponsor. The Northwest and Rocky Mountain Regional Food Business Center is the proud sponsor of the Meaningful Marketplace podcast. Giving a voice to food from across the six-state region of Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Oregon, Washington, and Wyoming. The Food Business Center supports Northwest and Rocky Mountain food industry makers as part of the USDA's National Network of Food Business Centers, supporting a more resilient, diverse, and competitive food system as a go-to source for small and mid-tier food and farm businesses with a focus on underserved communities. Providing education in the form of technical knowledge, business programs, and industry news. We sponsor trade shows, meetups, and conferences to connect growers, producers, retailers, distributors, and processors, all to stimulate business and raise the standards of our storied food industry. Join us as we travel through the six-state region learning more about food makers, food hubs, and food systems. Visit the website at Northwest Rocky Mountain Regional Food Businesses.com to get connected. We are joined in the studio today by Joelma, the owner of Amza Superfoods, making heart-healthy, convenient food products that celebrate Tibetan culture. Welcome, Joelma.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah, from Innovation Lab. And hello, Sarah. of Marshall the Hot Sauce.
Hello, we're so glad you could be on the show. We like to have our listeners be able to find you on social media and online. So what's the best way for them to do that?
All right, yes, we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn as Amza Superfoods, A-M-Z-A Superfoods with a plural S. And our website is amzasuperfoods.com.
All right. Thank you. We'll make sure to connect people to you.
That's super.
Yeah. Superfoods.
Right. Yes. Superfoods. Indeed.
We like to start out by kind of talking about your beginning. Could we maybe start with the name and talk about why you named your business Amza Superfoods?
Oh, yes. So Amza is the phonetic spelling of Amdo food. Amdo is one of the three regions of Tibet. That's where I'm from.
Perfect.
And Amdo is also the birthplace of the Dalai Lama. That's how I named the business.
That's a great name.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's perfect because it has meaning towards you and where you're from. So that's so lovely. Can you describe to our listeners your products so they know what it is that you make?
Oh, all right. Yes. So how about I introduce myself?
Yes.
That will answer quite a few questions and then we can lead to the product.
Perfect.
So, you know, I drafted a memoir cookbook in honor of my grandmother while I was working as a design consultant. Because my grandmother was a nomad, born in a yak fur tent, illiterate. Still, she inspired me to become the first girl from my village to earn a college degree. And my journey from Asia to Europe and America to further my education. But I always wanted to establish a food business and started a business plan about 7-8 years ago. Then my grandmother became very ill, and I flew home to say final goodbye to her. So on my way back to the U.S., I promised in the sky on the plane that I would write a cookbook. She couldn't write because she was a fabulous cook. She cooked for celebrations, ceremonies in the village, big personality, but she couldn't read or write. So I did that for her. And I wanted this cookbook to honor, to benefit disadvantaged women and girls in Tibet. It took me about 7 years, but it was okay because I wanted to be working to support my son through his university years. And finally, when I finished the book, then I started this business. Revisited the business plan. Cookbook draft grew into small but meaningful a business for me.
And did you publish the cookbook?
It's not yet published.
Okay, because people are going to want to buy it now that
right.
you've talked about
yes,
it.
Yes, I will. I will work on that as soon as my business is.
I think you can publish on Amazon pretty easily.
Yes, I hear that. I've heard that. Yes, I'll be looking into it for sure. Yeah. And so what we make? We make really staples.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, I make a lot of stuff. Currently, yeah. we have five products: mm-hmm. Tibetan samba bowls with Oregon hazelnuts, samba truffles with dark chocolate, samba breakfast mix with nuts and dates, which is the newest one, and the pure flaxseed with spread or butter with a date and a flaxseed spread with a chili and a turmeric.
Well, let's, since our listeners can't see the product and don't know, let's describe the flaxseed spread that you have. So what does it look like? What does it taste like? What would people use it on?
Right. It's lightly, the flaxseed spread is lightly sweetened with a natural dates, mm-hmm. One version. It's and the other one is a savory version with it's a chili, turmeric, Sichuan peppercorns. We call yerma. Yerma is also grown in Tibet, where I grew up. A bunch of seasonings. It's perfect on the toast, sandwich, as a base for your salad dressings, as a dip, as use as hummus also. It's and a spoon it too. It's a perfect.
I've eaten it with a spoon for sure. I think I ate it. Jar of it with a spoon. Actually, it was in my office and I just ate the whole thing.
Yes. Sarah helped me to test the water activities.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah. Right. Yes. You helped to test the product so that Joma could bring it to market.
And I convinced Joma to come and teach us how to make a special Tibetan bread that she makes.
Oh, fun.
So she spent time with our whole team here at the FIC in the kitchen and she made this amazing bread.
Oh, that was, thank you. That was a fun, big fun, really. I haven't
made. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. We make bread with wheat bread, barley bread. Sometimes pea is mixed in too, pea flour. And, but the one we made with Sarah's team was wheat with a little bit of barley flour and mm-hmm. flaxseed paste and, layered in, right?
Yeah, it was enormous. The bread was enormous.
Yes, it was good. Mm. And you have to see, Amdo is known, the region Amdo is known for the bread, but it comes from my hometown, Rikong. It's famous for bread, a humongous bread we make especially for Loser, which is a new year. And then somebody's wedding, a girl gets married. It's just a humongous number. A couple of people need to carry that sort of bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I recently went to my doctor and, I'm 45. So I asked what kind of vitamins or special things I should be eating and paying attention to. And flax seeds was one of the things that she told me that I needed in my diet. And I happened to just order like a granola bar that I just looked up, on Amazon or whatever, and I ordered it and it was absolutely terrible.
Did it taste fishy?
It tasted like seaweed or something, but it didn't have any seaweed in it.
Get fishy pretty fast. Actually, this is a great segue for me to talk about Bob Moore, because he said he passed away, a couple weeks ago. He was 94, but he told me once that you should eat 2 tablespoons of flaxseed a day.
Wow.
For your health. Yeah. Obviously, he was doing that. He lasted till 94.
He lived a long, wonderful life.
So you can eat Jomas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tablespoons.
I'm going to try it.
Absolutely. I have to send you some, Sarah.
I'm going to be at the Portland Farmers Market with you in just a little while. We're going to be neighbors. You're doing the Portland Farmers Market, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In the downtown.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have a booth and start back up at the market usually at the end of March. So I'll come buy some of your product from you when we're at the market together.
Great. Yeah, Can't wait to see you in the person.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited to try it. I'm sure it'll be so much better than what I bought online.
Speaking of a doctor's suggestions.
Yeah.
Our website is pretty new. We are soft launched like several months ago. And we really...
It's really nice, by the way. I was looking at it today.
Yeah, oh, thank you. And the 1/3 of our online customers are doctors and nurses. Nurses. Mm-hmm. Basically from a healthcare industry.
Yeah, that's great. Wow. That means that you're making something good for our bodies.
That's right. I'm amazed by the health benefits of flaxseed.
Maybe you should have an affiliate program for doctors to sell your product for you.
Because they always suggest.
That's a big deal.
So maybe there's an opportunity for me us to, it would be good for all of us. Flaxseed is amazingly high in the fiber, protein, lignin, and such, but it's the omega-3 fatty acids that we are suggested to eat fish for, Mm-hmm. And Sarah, you tell me, I've heard flaxseed has naturally more omega-3s than fish. So it's amazing for, and something I heard recently that this doctor said, I was watching on the line, something on the line, regardless of your age, you can still, your brain cells can still grow new brain cells with three foods. One of those was turmeric, and one is flaxseed. And the other one, I was so happy about hearing these two, and I forgot what the other one was.
You're like, oh, I've got both those.
Yes,
so it doesn't
got the
even
one
matter.
Yes.
I love that. And can you tell us when you started your business? We didn't talk about the beginning. Is it pretty new?
Yes, we are very new. We started last year in April 2023. We launched at a farmers market because our foods are less known or unfamiliar. Especially samba. So we started at the farmers market to let people taste, experience them in a person.
Perfect. That's so great. Well, congratulations on launching and getting through your first year in business. It's always hard to get things started and going. So congratulations on making it this far.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to take a step back and talk about the omega-6 and the omega-3. Flaxseed has 6 and 3. And a lot of phytoestrogens, which actually helps with estrogen metabolism. So if you're postmenopausal and you need a boost, you should eat Jolma's Amaza spread.
Yeah, that's, right. I mean, that's why my doctor was suggesting it. She said that this is the time where I really need those things. And so I think, great, I'm headed to your booth.
Antioxidants rich with that, which are good for blood, blood sugar regulations, just numerous health benefits.
Yeah, it's good.
And so you sell at the PSU Farmers Market. Are there other markets people can find you at?
Yes, we're also at Hollywood Farmers Market every other Saturday, first and third Saturdays, and we just started at the Beaverton Farmers Market this year as well.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It's also on the Saturdays. And we will soon, hopefully, be at Mount Villa Farmers Market. We're pending on the product samples currently.
And how have the markets been going for you? Do you enjoy them?
I enjoy very much. I'm a people person. I just I have fun at the farmers market, connecting with the people. I give display tons of samples under the table and explaining and just laughing. I enjoy very much, and the people seem like our food, and they come back. We're new, but we're building slowly a custom base. They come back.
That's my favorite part about the markets. I love interacting with everybody and getting to know them. And then, after a while, kind of making new things based on my regular customers and what their needs are. It's a very fun environment to be part of. And I love the other vendors. That's where my best friends come from.
Yes. I love when somebody comes, hey, Juma, can we trade with our fresh vegetable? Yes. Mm-hmm. Love to trade.
That's my favorite.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Oregon State University's College of Agricultural Sciences and the Food Innovation Center are proud sponsors of Meaningful Marketplace. With a mission to serve all Oregonians, we are committed to giving voice to those whose food and agricultural stories are not always heard. By providing access and opportunity for a more diverse and just food system, because food brings people together.
Let's just take a trip down memory lane. Can you tell us a little bit about your last trip to Tibet? And if someone was traveling with you, what would they have experienced?
If someone's traveling to Tibet.
With
me. And that would be, oh my God, how do we begin? Happiness, fun, love, beauty. You will see, tons of food gathering, people gathering around the food for somebody, an elder's life, honoring one, older person's life, cooked in a room-sized pot, and dumplings steamed in humongous steamers, fun celebrations Alaru, something we have in the summer. It's a shaman is the word, based. It's a big, fun, spiritual ceremonies, singing, dancing. Tibetans just love entertaining. And the stunning landscape, mountains, flower-covered grassland, you will see prayer flags everywhere in every color, flying high as if saying, welcome, Sarah. It's a magical place.
It sounds great. I want to go.
Me too. Let's caravan over there together.
You should go with me next time.
It sounds beautiful
great.
And magical.
So on your website, you have this beautiful robe on. Can you tell us about its traditional, I'm guessing, a traditional robe?
Yeah, so that's a traditional robe. That's a simple one, simple everyday clothes in the Amdo region. Each region has a slightly different clothes, but the really is the same. Longer robes, big robes. The Lhasa region or Huizen has a simpler version, sleeveless as well. But yes, that's my traditional clothes. I wore last weekend. This was for Loser celebration dinner. Loser is traditional Tibetan New Year. I wear that for celebrations here as well. I feel beautiful when I wear them. I feel tall. It's just a wonderful feeling when I wear them.
I also noticed that you have purple barley in your cereal that you have, and that we grow purple barley here in Oregon. Are you using Oregon purple barley?
Absolutely. We source from here locally. Our purple barley comes from Sun Gold Farm.
Yeah,
they're at the farmers markets everywhere around the town. Mm-hmm. And we source hazelnuts from Freddy Guy Hazelnuts, also a nice. Local farm at PSU Farmers Market there. And flaxseed comes from Camas Mill. What is that?
Camas Country Mill.
Yes, Camas Country Mill.
They're great.
Mm-hmm. Others, we source everything we can source from local farmers, mm-hmm. and some other things we can't, then we source them from Oregon suppliers.
Nice. Yeah. And that's are great. You making everything yourself, Joma?
Yep. We are making everything by ourselves at a commercial kitchen here in the northeast side. It's a restaurant. They until recently, they opened only for evenings. So we made them in the mornings. Arrowwood restaurant.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I did an event a while back with the Culinary Breeding Network and Oregon State University. I went down to Corvallis to talk to people about purple barley. They were trying to promote that as a crop. And so I went and cooked it was zucchini season. So I had a million zucchinis in my garden. So I made zucchini like fritters with purple barley, and they turned out really good, but I was very surprised that there weren't a lot of people that knew what purple barley was and they hadn't had it. So
it's so weird, isn't
yeah.
it?
Isn't
yeah,
it?
It's so interesting, Sarah. Yes, purple barley is originated in the Tibet.
Okay.
I've read that an American traveled to Tibet in 1924 and brought some seeds back to the U.S. And the seeds left in the U.S. seed bank in Texas, if I remember correctly, for almost a century.
Wow.
And then in the recent years, they're rediscovered and now grown around us in Oregon, Idaho, and in the West Coast.
Yeah, and they call some of the varieties have funny names. One of them's called Streaker.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
another
that
one's called Naked.
Yeah, that one is one of those they did here. Yes, they are different types of barleys for sure.
Yeah.
And there's a Tibetan black barley also growing here. That's dark. Cool. We say black barley in the Tibet. You know, jinr means black. Ninr is black barley. And the purple barley we grow. Barley, interestingly, grown on a Tibetan plateau. 3,600 years ago. And The Tibetans, it's been a staple for Tibetans for all those years. And Tsamba is one of, you know, actually made roasted purple barley or dark barley flour.
Could you say something for us in your native language? I think most people have never even heard a Tibetan speak.
Nina, and Sarma. Nina is a dark black barley, Tibetan black barley. Sarma is a flaxseed. It's grown where I grew up. We eat. We make it the paste into bread, and we make. I grew up eating a bread dipping in the flaxseed oil. That's Sarma, and Jasidilo means hello in a formal way.
Are other people in your family involved in the business, or is it just you?
Just me. My husband has been helping me. But it's me full time, just myself, and I have a couple of part-time staff helping around. Just me currently. We're very small.
Well, that's a good place to start. That's how I started too. And I've still tried to keep things smaller and have a couple of employees now, but that means that you're usually at the farmer's market. So can people expect if they come to the PSU farmer's market on Saturdays that they'll see you there?
Yes. Perfect. I am at farmer's market.
Great. So we always like to send people to meet you directly. If they hear this episode and they want to talk to you and meet you, they can most likely find you there at the market.
Yeah. Sometimes I go to Beaverton or Hollywood occasionally, but mainly PSU is my place.
Perfect. That will be great. And do you...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sarah.
I was just wondering if you could tell people what the samba balls are. I don't know if us just talking about samba balls means anything to anyone. So if you could tell us what they are, I think that would be great.
Yeah, samba is, really made with a roasted purple barley. It could be a black barley too, but we use purple barley, sourcing from, widely available here. And we may use 100% natural, non-GMO organic ingredients. This crop, by the way, is eco-friendly crop. It has a short growing season and whole grain that roasted and the ground. We eat that every day, especially nomadic people, semi-nomadic people. My background is more semi-nomadic area, agriculture and animals that have families have both. And either we eat in the mornings, either in a solid form, like the samba balls you see I make, and then, or like hot cereal, and like porridge hot. So that's a very common one. Samba is also, it's the first food for the Tibetans. And
the samba ball is kind of like a energy bar, but it's in the shape of a ball.
Yes.
And do they come in what, a dozen in a bag or?
Yes.
10 in a bag?
They come in pouch, stand up pouches, bags.
Yeah.
We have a 6 piece pack and we have a 12 piece pack.
Okay. And when somebody eat 2 of those for their breakfast or 4?
I eat 2 if I have for breakfast because they're solid, very dense and filling. For afternoon snack, I just have 1. They're very lightly sweetened with natural dates from California, traditionally used brown sugar. At least my family often used the brown sugar. But nowadays, I try to avoid, processed sugar. So I couldn't add sugar to product when I myself try to avoid.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. And lightly sweet. The other thing is also lightly sweet. One version is with hazelnuts from Oregon. And the other one is with a dark chocolate. It can be, again, it's a snack, or actually the chocolate one could be light dessert.
And are you selling in any stores, or mostly people get them from you directly at the market and online?
Yeah, currently directly from the farmers markets and online. Talking with a couple of specialty stores in town, but nothing is finalized yet.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And do you have any advice for people that are currently dreaming up a business? People that want to start something?
Yes. I say really ask for help, ask for tips, connections, or grants, find a mentor, because I say those who ask shall receive. And that I could not get this far without mentors, including Mark over here. And to follow your dreams. 2 decades ago, I dreamed of traveling to the West and learn English. And I've done that. Meanwhile, I dreamed of establishing a food business. And it took some turns, but I am on it now. If I can do it in a new country using a new language, you for sure can do it.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice for people, because I know it can be challenging too to have it be English be your second or third language, you know, to be able to figure out all of the forms and things that you need to do. So I would like to encourage people too, if they're listening, to reach out. You know, I know Sarah and I both have had quite a few people reach out to us that need help when they get into their filling out FDA forms and Department of Agriculture forms. So
we can help with their eyes closed.
Exactly.
Yeah, just ask for help. We love to help people. So I think that's really good advice. Find a mentor and find somebody to help. Because for us, it's like we've done that for a long time. We've filled out all these forms for a very long time so we can help people. And I know sometimes it's heartbreaking to think that that is the one thing that stands in the way of somebody being able to license and establish their business, is that that English isn't their first language.
Yeah, it's for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It's overwhelming. I dreamed about this for many years. Mm-hmm. And then finally, it's still, I had all the recipes, tons of recipes to build off of, but still, it's a lot of things going on. So I took the program with the community college.
Getting your recipe to market?
Yeah, getting your recipe to market.
Such a good investment.
Yes, a great investment, intensive course, but tons of resources, what you need to do, all the things laid out. You get a list of things you need to do. And that just made a huge difference for me.
Yeah, it's every Tuesday night, I think, for 12 weeks. And then towards the end, you get to present your product to New Seasons Market here in Portland.
Right.
And we have people, and we'll have people from our regional food business center joining that class starting here at the end of March. I think it starts March 26th. So it's coming up real quick, and then we'll have an open house at the Food Innovation Center in the second week of June. So watch for announcements about that. You can come walk the floor and taste all the products of the folks that went through the last cohort for the Getting Your Recipe to Market.
Yeah, it's such a great course and resource that we have here. So if anyone is listening and is thinking about starting a business, it's a good place to start. Check out when they're doing the next round and see if you can sign up.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it. So we always encourage people to buy directly from the makers. So what's the best way for people to buy from you and support you and your business financially?
Say hello to me. Come to visit me at Farmers Market and say hello to me and, try my food. I have tons of samples on the table. Just waiting for you to experience. And also online, we're also online at amzasuperfoods.com.
Perfect.
A lot of our listeners are trying to decide if they're going to start a business, a food business. Can you just tell us what you did before you decided to start this food business? Are you still working?
Yeah. Before I was preparing always, some things you want to do before you start a business. For me, it was finishing the book, drafting the cookbook, memoir cookbook, because knowing if I have started at the business, I wouldn't have time for a detailed memoir storybook. So I did that first, and I, you know, kept saving some money for starting the business. Mm-hmm. And that was really good, you know, and, you know, if you plan, you can save some money and then you have some to start. For example, the starting a food business does take, you know, some money. For me, for example, it costed me about $15,000 to start everything. You know, buying little gadgets, all the packaging, glasses, caps, you know, the metal caps, ingredients, and some small tools, all insurance, all those sort of things.
Professionally, what were you doing? What were you doing to make money so you could start this food company?
Right, exactly. You know, even though if your, you know, job is a job that you no longer find meaning in the job, but think about what you're going to do and do some work and save some money. That worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I am so blessed. Mm-hmm. I'm doing always something I always want to do, and while also hoping to you know, benefit the sisters and the girls I left behind. I want. Because I was the very first girl to have a college, to earn a college degree from my village, I wanted, I want to give back when I, as soon as you know, I can, to support girls for higher education.
We love that. That's a great mission, and we're so glad that you're doing that, and that you're a great example for all of the women in your village.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Cool.
Well, unfortunately, ladies, we have to wrap the show. It's time for us to end. But Joma, it was so nice to meet you. This is the first time I've met you and interacted with you. And I'm really glad that that happened today. I'm sure we will interact again. We'll see each other around town. So I'm glad that we could do this today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me today. And I'll look forward to see you both the farmers market.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We record Missoni and Marshall live every week. Find us on your favorite podcast platform like iTunes. Thank you to our audio engineer, Lon, and our production assistant, Chelsea. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can DM us on our Instagram, Missoni and Marshall. And we'll be back next week, everybody. Bye.
Bye for now.
You're listening to the Startup Radio Network. Listen, learn, launch. 10% of our gross revenue goes directly to women entrepreneurs in developing countries around the world through Kiva's microfinance program.